There was rather a lot of blood.
Don't worry. Most of the blood was someone else's. Most of the blood was someone else's.
Aaron, Noah, this is Paul from Otaku Generation, and we'd like to wish you a
Happy Holidays!
Steam Boy sucks.
Don't worry, most of the blood was someone else's.
Hi, this is Aaron's brother, and you're listening to the Ninja Consultant Podcast. It's my favorite.
Your favorite podcast?
My favorite podcast.
So, they use like a bunch of software and stuff to make this, right? Like After Effects and things like that?
Well, this is Otakudom. I barely knew how to use Photoshop. We spent about an hour trying to figure out how to make a square. Well, it was like, okay, I figured out how to install this. All right, what do I do? Like that. I have actually spent more time in Photoshop than I did, and I use Premiere. I work on a Mac. I'm one of the few people who works on a Mac. I heard you make a mention. I'm like, yep. I'm that guy. Said, yeah, we know there's one guy out there who's still using a Mac to do his video. Yeah, that's me.
But do you think you've learned any, like, marketable skills?
Well, one of the problems that I have is none of what I do very quickly. And this is one of the problems. No, I'm a perfectionist. I'm a nitpicky perfectionist. And I will go back. What I did find very challenging and very enjoyable in doing Steam, we wanted to make everything look like it was on TV. And in order to do that, you have to heavily alter the footage, because otherwise it looks like you're watching an anime show. That's the big challenge in an AMV or a fan parody, is you have to get past this video doesn't go with this audio, or this isn't the original intent of this footage, because that's what the brain will always is trying to think. Say, okay, I'm just watching this movie. But when you are trying to turn something into a commercial, you've got to have the person holding the product in their hand, or you've got to do logos that look close enough to what you're spoofing, but yet a little different. And yeah. So each new thing was a new challenge.
I.e. the Energizer Bunny?
Yeah, like the Energizer Bunny. Yeah, I had to figure
that
out how to do that.
Really tough one, I remember.
But that was one of the first things. That ad was actually supposed to be in This Is Otakudom. We had that written. And I had that
finished in time.
Well, at one point we said we were going to have a commercial break in the middle where we had Mark's eye catches. We were going to have eye catch and then a whole bunch of commercials and then cut back. So the line with somebody says, "Oh, we finally made it," makes more sense.
Yeah.
They didn't start the journey 15 seconds ago. They started the journey before the commercial break, so it would have that time, and then the perception would be there that it took a long time. But unfortunately, the only thing that we had were the movie trailers, and we thought, well, showing a bunch of movie trailers in a row is going to seem weird. But you can put trailers at the beginning of the tape, so we made it look like you bought a tape, stuck it in, and started watching it. So this one, Steam, is on TV, and our third serious one is going to be in a movie theater, which is kind of a trilogy.
You can't just take three random things and say it's a trilogy because I have three of them now, you know?
Yeah, you can.
Well, I mean, they do it all the time. It's not legitimate.
Well, anyway, we're doing a trilogy. After this, we'll probably never mention any of our other characters again.
All right, so do you get into conventions for free because of this?
No.
Nope.
No.
You don't count as a guest.
No, what you do... When you do an hour and a half worth of footage and you send it to a con and they show it, they just say thank you, which is fine. You know, it's good. It's good to say thank you. I'm not arguing against that. But you don't usually get free badges unless you're doing something live at the convention.
We did a bunch of panels.
So yes, I'll get in for free if I do panels. And I do panels not about us, not about our stuff, but I do panels on, well, here's what I've learned and here's how to do this. And let me encourage people to do fan parodies, like a lot of AMV creators. An AMV creator doesn't get in for free. You know, if every single thing that got shown, you got a free badge, well, nope, they'd go out of business. They'd go broke. So instead, if you're doing a panel, like the four or so AMV creators who actually do the panel, well, if you get a badge for doing a panel, yes. So I'm now kind of allowed to do panels, but I still have to do the work.
Yeah.
So yes or no?
Yeah. Okay.
And I try to bring as many of my friends with me to do these panels because, hey, I don't do all the work.
Yeah.
And usually they have some nice, good input.
So do you get people coming up to you at cons who you don't know, but they're like, oh, it's Scott Melzer?
Yeah, every once in a while that happens, and sometimes it's cool, and sometimes it's very frightening. And the only real frightening one was the pink-haired guy who jumped on me and hugged me. And
was he dressed in a Sailor Moon suit?
I look just like this. I'm wearing my This Is Otakudom t-shirt for recognizability, which... a policy I may change, and in celebration of Steam, I shall be dressed as a ninja. And by that, I mean everybody else and just blend into the background. But yes, on occasion, there have been a couple of scary things, but honestly, I've got an incredibly thick skin. I've been into conventions and fandom for about the last 30 years, morphing from science fiction into anime and various other ones along the way. So it's really, really hard to scare me because usually when somebody runs up and they're the scary fanboy, my first thought is, I was like that. Yeah, that was probably me. So I'm just very nice and calm, and I explain that I'm not a toy and, you know, I don't transform. Please stop trying to push those buttons and that sort of thing. And, oh, yes, I did read your fanfic about my thing, and you made my character really evil and it made me cry, but thank you for liking it so much that you did that. On the positive side, the guy I'm talking about and me, we reconciled very quickly and became friends, and we're still in contact, and he's actually a good guy. He's just that initial, I have to explain every single thing that I've ever thought about you and your work in the 4 seconds I know I only have to talk to you.
All right, so what other fan parody creators have you met and hung out with? And I sort of had the question, where are they different ages and from different walks of life?
Oh, they're all over the place, but unfortunately, they're pretty much all male.
Yeah, that's
which was another thing. There are a lot of female AMV creators.
Yeah.
Not percentage-wise, but number-wise, there are a lot of them out there.
Yeah.
The only person I would even consider more of a parody creator would be Pam S. Buck from the way old days.
Pine Salad Productions.
Yeah, Pine Salad Productions. We're talking, what, 92?
90s?
Maybe.
Oh, no, those are late 80s. Those are like 87, man. 88.
Yeah, they started out doing Robotech fan parodies and then went in and then... You know, got the hot new thing, which was Dirty Pair Classic.
But that long ago, huh?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it was like Pam's idea. It was like her fan parody. She just like got all of her friends to do it.
Wow. Yep. And EK, who does shorts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Failed experiments in video editing.
Okay. Yeah, things like that. That's hers.
Oh, great. She's
that's hers.
Big truck.
Yes.
She's big truck.
I saw her at Anime Central. I didn't say anything.
I've never met her.
It's weird. It's like, I've been reading your live journal for like a year.
I know intimate things about you.
I have deep insights on your interpersonal relationships if you care to have me relate to
you. See, my live journal is all lies, so that way when they come up to me at the... Actually, I don't have a live journal, so yes, it is all lies. Anime fan parody creators that I have met.
Yeah.
The major ones would have to be Bobby Beaver from Texas. He was a huge influence on me. The first AMV I ever saw was Bobby's. And for years, it was Every Little Thing She Does Is Magic by The Police. And the video, yeah, it was Kiki's Delivery Service. I've been saying Kinky more than Kiki. So he really got me into it. And years later, he contacted me about one of my AMVs, and we started chatting back and forth. It turned out we had a lot in common. He's only about 2 years younger than I am. which was amazing to me, because you know, I keep walking around like, I'm the oldest guy in the room. I'm the oldest guy in the room. Like, it just always happens to me. Wait a minute, I still am with him. But he's close. He's very close. And he really helped with Otakudom as a tech advisor. He knew how to record stuff. He worked in a Radio Shack, so he was looking up stuff and saying, you want this exact number, and, oh, by the way, it's going on sale in 2 days, so wait, and that type of thing, which was wonderful. After that would be Andrew Hosking from Studio Sokode, who did Evangelion Redeath, Nescaflone, Fanboy Bebop. He's out in California, and we just met because Matt here runs the Otakon fan parody stuff, and he put the two of us in contact with each other. Goes, hey, you guys both do this stuff. So there was some sort of, I'll write an email to both of you, Scott. This is Andrew. Andrew, this is Scott. And sometimes people come up to me after panels or after showings, and they say, oh, hey, I'm the guy who did this, or I'm the guy who did that, and we'll sit down and talk for a while. I'd say I've probably only met about 6 or 7 different fan parody producers, but I've met hundreds of AMV creators.
Right. Yeah. Has anyone ever come up to you and said, I made a fan parody because I saw your stuff?
No. I've never even seen a nod. It's one of the really awesome things about fan parodies. You can do that. You can have nods to all these other groups. Like, everybody I've ever met gets in our fan parodies.
Right.
And no one's ever mentioned us, except for Bobby, who is a personal friend of mine, so kind of doesn't count. No, that's just like a nod back, because I did it for him. But no, I've never heard the creepiest thing. somebody wanted to do a live action This Is Otakudom, and the guy who it was a cosplay group, and they contacted this guy who did. I think he called them G movies. They're like, you know, worse than B movies, and because it's all home camera stuff, or whatever.
Uh-huh.
It's one past F. But he contacted me and said, "Hey, is this cool? Do I have your blessing to do this? If you really don't want me to do it, I won't do it." And I wrote a back and forth on it. Well, here's why I think it's a good idea. Here's why I think it isn't. Well, if you're going to do all this stuff and it's going to be impossible to translate anyway, just do your own characters. Yeah, so that's weirded me out, and he never wrote back. I don't know. Well, this was actually only about a month ago that he wrote to me.
So what was like the first fan parody type thing of any genre that you've seen? Like at a sci-fi con or something?
All of us, or me? Or?
Well, I guess everyone.
Yeah, because Matt knows more about that than I do. The first one I've seen is probably Voltron Hellbent for Leather, or the Dirty Pair stuff from Pam Buck.
Okay.
Mine was Redeath. That was like the first fan parody I remember seeing.
Oh, you're such a newbie.
Yeah.
I think my first fan parody was probably Fast Room Freedom Fighters.
Yay.
Which was, yeah, great. I remember we had a lot of nuts.
White Radish. Yeah, I've met Sean.
Oh, okay.
Through doing this talking to him. He came to my screening.
Which is really nice of him.
Yeah, it was really nice of him. And he said he liked it, so hey.
Cool.
Matt.
Let's see, probably the first fan parody I ever saw was like this, like, and like 10 generations down version of Dirty Pair Does Dishes from Pine Salad Productions.
I think Noah saw that.
You had a 10 generation? Oh, you were a god then. A god in the club scene.
No, seriously. This was back in the day when if you got something where it wasn't like so duped that it had turned black and white and half fuzzy,
yeah.
you were like, you know, king otaku on the block, man.
Normally you'd see like the old fuzzing on the top and the
bottom. Oh, seriously, like before, you know, this was like before anything was licensed over here ever, we had like Ranma tapes that were like so badly down that when we finally saw real ones, we were like, oh my god.
It's so clear. I can see all the details.
Like,
oh, it does look like a girl when they change.
It was like, we thought that was the tape.
See, kids, you have it very lucky. You're very lucky today. You know, you've got it so easy, everything on DVD.
Oh, my God.
Push loves back then.
Those were breasts.
The first fan parody I saw was something like the $50 million Funky Chicken.
Oh, the $60 billion Funky Chicken. Yeah, by Otaku's Revenge.
Yeah, I didn't know anything about them, and then I saw it listed in the Otakon program guide. Mm-hmm. I'm like, that sounds interesting.
Yeah.
So did everyone else. There was like a big line.
Oh, I'm so glad.
Yep.
It was really ridiculous.
Matt was in charge of that, and I was also in that room.
Yeah, they should have like a different print the next year, but didn't work out as well in video.
They made a follow-up fan parody called Kentucky Fried Anime, and it was sort of similar to the Steam concept of a night of flipping channels on an all-anime TV network.
Yeah, imagine that. I'm watching this. I don't want to say anything bad about it, but I thought...
We will anyway.
But it's got its moments. I thought it was really good in parts, and other parts were kind of slow. I was terrified I was looking at the future of our own project. There were so many jokes in there that we were doing the same thing. Like, oh, and I'm going, yeah, once again, this concept does not work. So I was Matt was there, and he brought the tape over, and he showed it to me, and I was just sobbing in the corner. Yeah, it was pretty bad.
Now for a segment I like to call My Life with Fandom.
Where are the Cheetos?
Shut up. Right next to you.
You guys could tell the story of how you met.
Oh, he'll tell the story.
One day, it was, what day was that anyway? Yeah, well, it was one of those weekends in Jersey, June.
End of June.
So this was Anime Next, and I had been conned into, no, enticed to do this, because it all started in Boston, where they were like, hey, try dressing up like Kakashi, because I'm going to eBay my costume, and I don't want to. So I did it. Reactions were nice. A concoction brewed up for us to do a glomping project, which can be seen at Chaotic Unicorn. They dragged me to... I mean, I voluntarily went to Anime Next and did a couple of... we were doing film and footage and stuff, and I was just about to leave because I wanted to leave because the hugging and the glomping was hurting, and if you saw the video, that last tackle was painful. So I really wanted to get out of the costume. I really want to go home. Get stuck with a panel event, I think. She stopped. Full Metal Alchemist, I believe it was. Damn that show. So she stopped and looked at it. And then so I'm hanging around. And then we notice a ninja. It was actually an Anbu, I guess. I didn't even know what it was, seriously. I didn't know the series. Yeah.
Did anyone watch the show yet?
No, they just forced him to.
They were getting glomped all day.
I did not know my character until literally 4 hours after that event, because I went to finally watch the DVDs. Here comes an Anbu, and, you know, all like, you know, can I take a picture of you or something? What was it?
You could take a picture of him. And then he was like, yeah, you could take a picture of me. So I did. And then goes, can I get a picture of you guys together? So I'm like, oh, that's interesting, because at that time, that was my first time cosplaying. I didn't really want to make any contact with any strange cosplayers. So, like, you know, I felt kind of weird. But so if she didn't ask me, I wouldn't have asked. But when she did, then, you know, it was like, and, whatever.
You know, and I was kind of like, hey, that's that Anbu, that ninja chick from before that looked kind of cool. Like, I noticed once. But I don't know. But I noticed once. And I was like, cool, you know. And then, you know, there she was flaunting her kunai, and it was all bigger than mine's. And I was just like...
That was our first conversation.
You know, she was like, you know, my kunai is bigger than yours. And I was like, fine, whatever. And, like, I kind of pouted, walked away. And that was it, actually. And then...
At the con,
that was it.
And never again.
A week later, I was like, dude, I want all these pictures that they took, because if I'm never going to do this again, which it's a couple of months later and I'm still in the costume, crap. I went to the forum and I was like, you know, has anybody seen this Kakashi? I didn't say me. I was just like, you know, well, yeah.
Some people are like, do you have any pictures of me? And I guess he didn't want to be that straightforward. Yeah. So he acted like he was someone else.
Like, I saw this ninja. He was cool. Did you see this guy? And I had a picture that I hadn't put it up. And then some person comes up, and it was me and the Anbu together in the picture, and I was like, and she's like, oh, I'm not the Kakashi. And I'm like, dog, because I am. And I'm like,
so. Well, you just made it sound like you weren't him. So I was like, that's not me, but I am the girl in the picture.
And so we started talking from there. And it was just
like, and then you PM'd me like something.
Oh, yeah. What did I PM you?
You PM'd me something like, oh, that Kakashi is actually me. I just didn't want anyone to know. So I wrote that it wasn't me. And he's like, well, here's my screen name. And then he gave it to me. And then he was like, to prove that it's me, I said that something like your kunai was bigger than mine or something, and like, you know, just so you know that I'm not some stranger just kind of stalking you. So then that went to that, and like I was still debating, and that's how it all started.
What the hell am I doing? Because I said, you know, con people freak me out. But that's not true. I mean, they're all nice. But I was just kind of like, you know, oh my God, right?
What's it?
So, you know, we talked and then, like, you know, phone and, you know, the gradual build up. And I was just like, wow, these people are normal. And actually, apparently, we were both kind of thrown into it at this, the same way. Like, we weren't like, well, let's go to a con. So it was just kind of like, cool, you know. And then,
I see.
And then there we go. And then from there, it just built and built. And
then,
you know,
at Otakon.
And at Otakon, it was like, official! Yeah, and that's the story. じゃあ俺はもう忍者コンサルタントのポッドキャストも聞いてます。あのウェブサイトはあの www.ninjaconsultant.com 来てください。よろしく。